Welcome to The Convo. I am your host, Lakeisha Mosley. I'm a mom, a blogger, a brand influencer, and the event producer of my own event management company called The LM Experience. On The Convo, you'll hear conversations with some of the most profound entrepreneurs from all over the world as they share with us their wins and their losses. They'll also share tips and tricks with you that will help you be successful along this journey called entrepreneurship. Let's get started with the show.
You love live streams, and we love live streams. And what we all know about live streams is that they're hard to find. A pain in the ass, even. Often, you find out about them after they've already happened. And how helpful is that? Introducing Yak.live, a website that puts all live streams in one place so they're easy to find, easy to add to your calendar, so you never miss another one again. Whether you're looking for more from Lakeisha, a yoga session, or John Legend live performances, Yak.live has the streams you're looking for and those you've yet to discover. And if you'd like your live streams to be on Yak.live, you can do that too. Yak.live is the official home of all live streams.
Hi, Lucille. Thanks so much for joining me today on Convo with Keisha. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I am doing great. So how about you tell the listeners where you're at?
Yes. So my name is Lucille Roach. I am a business startup coach. I am based in Birmingham, England, and I focus on helping new and aspiring female business owners to lay the foundations so they can start and succeed in business.
I love that. That's like so clear, precise, to the point. Because, you know, sometimes as women, like, we just go, we're all over the place. So we need, you know, startup coaches like you who can help us, like, bring that message in so that we can, like, help others.
Yes.
That's so awesome. That's so awesome. So what led you to, like, starting your own business and becoming a business owner?
Sure. So I feel like that when you're, especially for me anyway, when I was growing up, I was never ever taught about being in business. I was encouraged to kind of go down a particular path. You know, you go to school, you get your qualifications, right, you work your job, you retire, and that's it. So being in business was never on my radar. And I started my career as a lawyer. So I was in criminal law, and then I moved to personal injury. And I was at a point in my career where I was just unhappy and I needed to do something different.
Right.
So I found myself moving to management, and, you know, I had everything that I thought that I wanted. You know, I was in management. I was helping people to achieve their goals. I was problem solving. I was earning more money, and I should have been happy, but I wasn't.
Right.
And it's, I had that feeling that, like, something was missing, and I just didn't know what that something was. Mm. And then about, so in 2015, my granddad passed away, and he lived in Florida. And so my dad and I went to his funeral, and I remember them talking about his life and the things that he had accomplished and the impacts that he had made, you know, mentoring people at his church and visiting children at the hospital. And I kind of realized that what I was missing in my life was that sense of purpose. Like, I didn't have any purpose in my life, and I didn't have any passion about what I was doing. Right. So I started to look for ways that I could kind of find that passion, and I stumbled on mentoring, and I did that for a little bit, and I loved it. So I was mentoring children who were teenagers, so 13 to 14 year olds, who had potential but just needed help realizing their full potential. That then led me to want more, so I looked for something else I could do, and I stumbled on coaching. Now, at first, I went on this 2-day introductory weekend, and it was like a light bulb had gone off. So when they were talking, I'd realized that throughout my, at that time, 6-year management career, I'd been coaching, and I realized that that's the thing that I loved more than anything, was that coaching. Initially, being a coach was just going to be another tool I was going to use to make me a better manager. But the more I trained to become a coach, the more that I worked, the more I realized how much I loved it. And I was like, I don't just want this to be something I do on the side. I want this to be my career. So that's what made me then decide to start my business.
That's awesome. Like,
if people think about it, like, I hope the listeners are catching on. Like, it's not that you did something totally different. Like, it was already in you. It was already in what you were doing. Like, you didn't really have to go out and get additional trainings or anything like that.
It was just, like I said, it was something that I was already doing, but I just didn't call it coaching. It just felt natural to me to kind of be working in that way. And then to suddenly have a name to it and be like, oh, okay then. And you mean I can actually do this as a career?
Exactly. And get paid for it.
Yes, yes.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I love that. I have a background in criminal justice as well. I have my background in it. And I just noticed, like, once I got in it, I really didn't like it that much.
Same, same.
Yeah, I didn't really like it that much. And I was just like, okay, what am I going to do? And then I went back and I got a degree in HR. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm still not satisfied with that. And then I noticed, you know, when I got into event planning and, you know, blogging and podcasting, like, you use a little bit of all that training in what you do currently. So it wasn't like it was all wasted.
No.
But, you know, you just think about, like, man, I could have just did this from the beginning.
Exactly. But then, like you say, that journey, the journey that led you to where you are now, you've learned so much. You've picked up skills that you can still use doing what you're doing now. So it's not like you said, it's not wasted. It's just part of the journey.
Exactly. Exactly. So you mentioned struggling with visibility, and I know that that is a huge thing. I feel like we as women, a lot of times, I think we're kind of like, we're either too lazy on it or we are too hard on ourselves about it. So tell us what that looked like for you.
I was just afraid, because I feel like sometimes when you start a business that you forget that there's a person in the business as well. So as the individual behind my business, Asset Business Consultancy, I was scared. I'd never been a business owner before. You know, I'd worked for other people who were responsible for marketing and customer service. You know, I didn't have to worry about those things. I didn't have to worry about promotion. And suddenly I was in this position where, in order to make my business a success, I was the one that had to speak about it. And I went through this period where I was just really unclear about who I was and what I was doing. So I knew who I wanted to work with in my business, but I was just really unclear about my messaging. I was really unclear about specifically who I could help and how I could help them. And then I also had this fear, which I feel like a lot of women suffer from, this fear of being judged. So that if I put information out there, if I put myself out there, people are going to judge me. People are going to say, who is she? What is she talking about?
Exactly.
And I realized that, you know, I remember looking at somebody else, somebody who was a peer of mine, seeing her on a flyer because she was speaking at an event. And I was like, oh man, you know, I wish that that was me. And then I had to check myself and I had to say, what have you done to promote yourself to be booked for events? And when I couldn't answer that question, when the answer to that question was nothing, I realized that I was the person holding me back. Right. So in order to be visible, it's my responsibility to put myself out there, to put in the work. I can't complain about people not knowing about me if I'm not telling them about me.
Exactly. I just want to pass the collection places. You're preaching, okay? That is so true. Like, we wonder why people aren't noticing us.
Yeah.
And it's because, like you just said, we're not putting ourselves out there. And I can recall being the same way. Mm-hmm. Like, how does she get on this? Yes. Like, she hasn't been doing this as long as me.
Mm-hmm. You know,
like. Yep. But it's that, you know, holding that mirror up, holding ourselves accountable to say, okay, you're not doing what that other person is doing to be in that position. So you shouldn't be upset, you know, about the fact that they're there and you're not.
Yes.
That is so, so awesome. So how did you start to become more visible in your business? Because I think that's one of the key elements of those of us who struggle, you know, with that.
Yes. For me, it was, first of all, I had to ask myself, what is it that I was really afraid of? Because, confidence is one of those things. You can have so much confidence in one area of your life, but then in another area of life, your confidence is a little bit lower. And so I had to ask myself, what was it that I was really afraid of? So if it was that I was afraid that people were going to judge me, but what is it that they were going to judge me on? What would they say? And then what would the impact of them making that statement be on me? And the reality is that it probably wouldn't have any impact on me at all, because I don't know them, they don't know me, and everybody's entitled to their opinion. So what I had to do was, first of all, I had to ask myself, well, is this really something that I'm afraid of, or am I just making an excuse to stop myself from doing the work that I need to do to put myself out there? Because there is fear of failure, but then there's also fear of success. What if I am successful? What if this works? So I had to ask myself what it is that I was really afraid of, and then ask myself what I was willing to do. And I started what I would say is small for me, which is by just recording short videos and putting them on social media. Now, I know for a lot of people that may seem like a huge step. So you do what makes you feel comfortable. If that means you comment an emoji under a post just so somebody can see that you are commenting, you do what feels comfortable for you. And I remember when I was doing these videos, my lighting was terrible. I was holding the phone in my hand. The phone was shaking, but I was doing it. You know, it's the thought, sometimes it's the thought of doing something that's more scary than the act of doing it. And the more I started to do things like that, the more my confidence grew, the more I was able to research and to find my own voice. And then I started to get some positive feedback from people. And then this is the other thing as well I've realized about social media, is that sometimes it can be really distracting when you put something out there and you don't get an immediate reaction. But social media is one of these things where people may not be reacting, but it doesn't mean that they're not watching. And I had to, and you know how I learned that? I remember I was promoting something. I was promoting a workshop. And when I was checking to see where the people came from when they bought the workshop, they were people who were following me on social media who had never interacted with a post that I put out there. But they clearly been watching what I was doing. Right. And sometimes you get caught up in that, oh, because nobody's liking it, because nobody's commenting on it, nobody cares, and you can feel dejected. No, people are still listening. Yeah, so you've still just got to keep putting yourself out there. So the way that I made myself more visible was to make the decision that I needed to do this for the success of my business and to build up my confidence, and to start small by, like I said, recording videos, short videos, and then posting them. Then I started doing live videos. Then I started to do events. So it was a gradual thing for me to build up my confidence.
Exactly, exactly. I think we always like, we feel like we shouldn't, or it has to be a certain way. I'll say it like that. Yeah. We feel like it has to be a certain way instead of just jumping out and trying something. Like, at first, it's not going to be perfect.
No, let it be messy.
Yes, it's a beautiful mess. You know, like, let's just do it. Yeah. And then we go back and we perfect as we go. Like,
exactly. And, you know, and like I say, if I do a side-by-side comparison of the videos that I did when I started compared to the videos that I do now, there's such a difference, but it doesn't matter about the quality of the video. My message was still real. My message was still relevant. And so, you know, yes, I perfected things along the way in terms of, you know, when I'm creating my videos, I have a beginning, a middle, and an end, and I'm clear about what it is that I'm saying. And now I've got the lighting and I've got the equipment and the microphone and everything like that. But, you know, I would never have got to this place now if I hadn't have started.
Right. And I think that's the main thing, that we have to understand that we need to start somewhere. Like, we just have to start somewhere. And I'm guilty of that too, Lucille. Like, for myself, I'm more of a behind the scenes, although I consider myself very extroverted, because, you know, with events, you know, you don't really see the planner. Like, you're not front and center. You normally see us after the fact, or maybe during those phases. But in this whole virtual realm, I've had to pivot. And I've had to come out and be more visible. And so it started with, you know, jumping on and doing lives and things like that. So my thing is, like you said, you have to start somewhere. And then you just kind of, you know, you just go from there. Like my first couple of lives, oh my gosh, they were horrible. I felt like I was reading a script. It was crazy. I felt like I was reading a script, seriously. You know, I got better with it. And then I started to relax because I was judging myself. The people want the information. They didn't care, you know, how I was delivering it, other than they wanted it to be clear and concise. But it didn't matter if I didn't say the right word or whatever. All they want was the information.
Exactly. I remember when, you know, because I do public speaking as well. And I remember when my speaking coach was saying to me, it doesn't matter if you get on stage and you forget what you're going to say, because the audience has no idea what you were going to say. So the only person that knows that you've messed up is you. They don't know because they don't have a script in front of them that they're like, oh, she missed that word. She didn't say that. They have no idea what you're going to say. So it's we do it to ourselves. We put these barriers in front of ourselves to stop us from doing something. Because we're afraid that somebody is going to notice that we didn't say a specific word or we said something wrong. But actually, that humanizes us.
True. Yes. So true. People relate to us that way. I think that's where some of us mess up, is that we're not relatable because we out here trying to stunt for the gram, look a certain way, and people are like, oh, well, she don't struggle like me, so her message isn't reaching me. It's not even reaching me. So do you think some of that come, like the imposter syndrome plays a little bit into that? Why we don't become visible?
Hugely, definitely, especially if it's something that you've never done before. Because as I say, I know for me, I was in this cocoon of being an employee throughout my career. You know, I was very confident in my role as a manager. I was confident in presenting myself at meetings, but it's completely different to then presenting yourself as the business, as the person who somebody is paying money to. And one of the things that I struggled with is that as part of my role as a manager, part of what I do is coach the people that I work with. But then I struggled to be able to charge people for me coaching them in my business. And the reason that I struggled with that is because I couldn't reconcile it in my head. I was like, well, you know, I put so much pressure on myself, like, oh my gosh, this has to be perfect and I have to get this result for them. And first of all, in coaching, there are no guarantees about what the result is, because it's about you and the work that you put in there. So, you know, for me, and it's the same thing in your job as well, you know, there's no guarantee of what the output is of the effort that you put in there. You just have to put in the work and do what it is that you need to do. So that was a big thing for me, that, you know, I put so much pressure on myself to deliver that I was afraid to deliver. I was afraid that I wouldn't deliver in the right way. And what I had to do is I had to go back and step back and look at these skills and the experience that I had. You know, I've got a lot of training. I've got a lot of experience. You know, I've been coaching at this point for 9 years. So I've got no reason to be afraid to coach somebody because I've got that skill. And if there's something that you are afraid of, it's typically because, first of all, you need to remind yourself of how much you can do, or because you need to maybe get some more training to help you to get to the level that you want to be at. And that training doesn't have to be paid training. It could be that you read a book, you listen to a podcast like this, you go to an event. It just means that you have to identify yourself. What are the skills that I need to make me feel better about doing this? But don't let that be something that holds you back. Because I know so many people who are like, I just need to get this qualification before I can start doing this. And you don't need that. You just need to start and give yourself the experience. Then you can identify, what else do I need?
Exactly. I think we hold ourselves back like so much. And we hurt ourselves. Because we hold back gifts that other people need. I think that's what really kind of just made me say, girl, if you don't get yourself together.
Wow. Yes. You know? Yes.
You have something that other people need. God destined for this. And you're holding back. You're playing small because you feel like you don't look or sound right. Yeah, I love that.
And I think what hit home for me is when I heard somebody say that you are doing somebody else a disservice if you are holding back your gifts and your talents. If there is something that you can do, you can say to help somebody else, and you have the means to say that, and you don't, you are doing that other person a disservice, because there's somebody out there that can benefit from what you're saying. They can benefit from the knowledge that you have.
Right. That's so true. And we really have to get, you know, out of that, especially now. Like, we totally have to get out of it now. We are affected by a global pandemic where some people are, they can't move, literally. Yeah. And you have something that can help them start their business or grow and scale their business, you know, or just really just do great things with themselves. So I love how you put that, like, we are really holding other people back from getting to the next level they could get to by putting them off.
Yeah.
That's so true. So tell me, what do you know now, after being in business a little bit, that you wish you had knew when you started out?
Ooh, so much. I think, though, that the one thing that I would say, and we've kind of talked about this a little bit, is, you know, I wish that I knew the importance of just starting small and just starting. Like, I feel like for so many people in business, people want to walk before they can crawl. So you see other people on social media with like thousands and thousands of followers, and people posting receipts on social media saying, I had another 10K or 100K month. And you become so fixated on that, and then that becomes your goal. And what I realized in my business, and what held me back for so long, is that I didn't start with firstly laying a foundation. Like, I was trying to move too fast before I had put in that time at the beginning to lay my foundation. And for me, the foundation is, it has four layers. So it's clarity. So it's being clear about what it is that you want to achieve. It's confidence. It's having the confidence to be able to put yourself out there and present yourself in your business. It's having a plan so that you know step by step what it is that you need to do. And then the strategy that tells you how to execute that plan. And, you know, like I say, I spent so much time in my business not focusing on that initial part of it, not focusing on my plan for my business, not focusing on my identifying and being clear who my ideal client was. I just rushed out there and started posting on social media. But then the problem was, is because I didn't know who I was speaking to, my message wasn't clear. And then I get frustrated because I wasn't getting any response to it. But I wasn't getting any response to it because I wasn't clear who I was speaking to. Right. So I'd skip the whole step, and I was trying to kind of, you know, I was running now, and you know, and I hadn't even learned how to crawl properly. So I'd skipped so many steps, and then I was wondering why I was stuck. And then, so then what I had to do is I had to go back to the beginning. And I'm trying to make starting at the beginning sexy, because I don't feel like it is sexy at the minute. I feel like people see people on social media, the influencers, they see their success and they want that immediately. Mm-hmm. People don't really seem to have that patience to put in the work to make it happen. But what they don't see is the years of work that went on behind the scene before that person became popping. It's not like an instant thing that happens. It's not like they just woke up and suddenly they had like a million followers on Instagram and lots of clients. It was a process. They had to start at the beginning as well. Exactly. When you start a new job, you start at the beginning. You know, you don't start right at the top unless you already have that skill and experience. So I really wish that I had spent more time at the beginning developing my foundation and being clear about who I was, what I was doing, and who I was doing it for.
That's true. Like, we don't hone in on what we need to. And I think we all kind of make that mistake unless we really just, you know, decide, okay, I'm going to do better. You know, thing. I was on a IG live the other day, and they were talking about, you know, what do you see from, you know, 8 years ago to now? And I'm like, I know who the heck I am now. Like,
yes.
You know, like, when I first started, I was doing events for like $300, Lucille. Mm. Okay. Like $300. And now, I mean, you need to add a couple of zeros to that.
Yes. Amen.
You know? You know, but still, you're like, you want to get the money so bad that you forget that you are not reaching the people. that you need to. And then it took a while for me to like really discover who my audience and my target market was, so that I could reach them. Cause I'm like, I'm talking and nobody's talking back. Mm. Like, nobody's talking back to me. Well, honey, you weren't talking to the right people.
Exactly. And then what happens then, Lakeisha, is that people get frustrated and they're like, you know what, this isn't for me, it's not working, I'm just going to give up. And it's not that you need to give up, it's just that you started too far ahead. You need to go back.
Exactly. I don't think they get that. Like, it's work that's involved in this. And I cannot get people to understand that's just what it is. None of this happens overnight. I don't know who told people.
I don't know. And if it does happen overnight, it's not sustainable, because we've all seen those, you know, those celebrities that suddenly get instant success because of one song. So they're like a one hit wonder, but then they can't replicate that. They can't live up to the hype then.
Right. And we're too busy, like you said. We looking and seeing what somebody else has done when we haven't put in the work to even be there yet. Yes, some people are overnight sensations. Like, we get that. However, most of us, we gotta work. It don't get like that. And we have to be willing to put in the work, you know, to help us get to that next level.
Yes.
So who is it that you work with as a coach?
So, you know, I was kind of, when I started, I was like, who do I want to work with? And I knew I really wanted to work with women. And because I come from a corporate background, that's who my focus is on. So it's on women who work in corporate backgrounds. But I really wanted to focus on startups because, as I say, you know, I see lots of people on social media, lots of influencers, and it seems like they're talking to a specific business owner who's had years in the game and who's had lots of experience. I wanted to target the people right at the beginning, so right at the start of their entrepreneurial journey. So even before maybe their business has even started, they've just got this idea and they need to learn how to turn that into a business. So that's who it is that I work with. And so when I say a new business, I mean somebody that's got less than 2 years in business. So that's who it is that I specifically help and focus on. And I love it so much. And I think especially now, so many people, because of COVID-19, are pivoting, as you say. And one of the ways that they're doing that is that they're developing side hustles, they're starting their own businesses. But I see a lot of people, again, rushing to do it, but they're not taking the time to make sure that they've got that foundation clear first. And then they end up making mistakes. And because of those mistakes, it causes them to give up on having a business. And even in the future, if they decide to start, and if they think about starting another business, they remember the business that didn't work out and they're like, no, I don't want to do that. So I really want to help people to kind of to understand the process involved, to understand the parts that are, like I said, that aren't so sexy but are so necessary. And once you've done it, it makes such a huge difference. I cannot tell you how much better it was for me to be able to just even communicate with my audience online and via email once I was clear about what I was doing and who I was doing it for and why I was doing it.
Right. And that's, I just really want people to understand that you have to do that kind of building to get to a place where you're actually really good in your business. You're clear. There's lots of clarity, and that you can help people. Like, I want the listeners to understand, yes, we want you to jump out and we want you to do what you need to do, but we want you to make sure that you're whole and you're good before you jump out there and do that. Because again, remember, you have a gift that people need. Yeah. But if you haven't uncovered the gift, if you haven't tapped into it, then you can't give it to anyone else.
Yes. That's so true. Yes.
You can't give it to anyone else. So let's talk about, you know, you said 2 years or less. And I think that is so, so good. And not to knock anybody that's been in business longer than that, but I think the longer that you're in business, the harder it is to break habits.
Yes.
And like, so what do you think in those initial, like, first 2 years, that business owners, female business owners, you know, may encounter or go through, to where you can really get them at that stage and really help them get to the next level?
I think for me, the thing that people forget is a business plan is so powerful. Your business plan is your roadmap, and it includes things like who your ideal client is. And, you know, and with my work, I get that that's something that's really difficult, and it's not a concept that a lot of people come across unless you're in business. Like, what's an ideal client? How do I even identify who is somebody that I like to work with? So I start with those basics, and it's about, well, who is it that you have enjoyed working with? What I look at it like dating. Like, if you were dating somebody, then what is it that you would be looking for in that person? What are the qualities? What characteristics would you want them to have for you to be able to work with them? So it's that, because exactly like you say, sometimes if you're too far ahead in business, you think, a business plan, I'm not going to waste my time doing that. But if you catch them really early on, you develop that great habit, because your business plan isn't just something that you do once and you leave it. It's something that you look at again and again and again.
Right. Yes. It's almost a point of reference, like you just saying. Like, it's a point of reference for you. Mm. And I don't think you take it as lightly as you maybe would, you know, if you were further along. Like I say, we form these horrible habits. Mm-hmm. I know even for myself, even during this this pivot, you know, I've had to say, girl, you tripping. You've been doing this all this time. Like, you know, it really just... it made me more cognizant of some of the things that I was doing. Yeah. And that I needed to revamp. Now, for me, it was a lot harder, because, again, here you're talking about somebody that's been in business for 8 years. Mm. And now I needed to make adjustments. For me, I had to totally dismantle Lucille. Like, totally dismantle and start over. Now, was that a long process? No. But was it very work intensive? Yes. Mm. Because think about, I want the listeners to think about, within the first 2 years, if anyone's ever been involved in, say, like, building, planning, or anything like that, like, it takes a couple of years for them to, you know, get the blueprints done, get all the schematics, permits, all of that stuff before they really start making ground. Like, I've heard that it's taken like 2 to 3 years to, like, physically plan out a building before they even break ground.
Yeah.
It's, you know, a little bit of time. But think about trying to remodel a home that people are trying to live in. That's basically what I had to do. And it was
like, I could imagine.
Yes. And it's a lot more expensive, and not saying that it's not worth it, because it is worth it when you're dealing with your clients and the people that you want to serve. Yeah. But it's like, okay, yeah, some stuff, you know, you should have done prior to now than trying to dismantle. Yes.
And that's such a good point. And it's like you say, that sometimes we need to do that evaluation of ourselves, because you get so caught up in what it is that you're doing, that sometimes we need to give ourselves those moments of reflection where we can kind of sit back and look to say, this is where it is that I am. Where do I want to go? What more do I need to be doing? Because you can forget that. And I think what you said is so important. The fact that, you know, you were an established business, you realized there were some changes that you needed to make. And those are probably uncomfortable. And I think sometimes when people hit across something that's uncomfortable, you get resistance. People don't want to push through, because people like being comfortable. You wouldn't opt to put yourself in an uncomfortable position. You want to stay in your comfort zone, but you can't grow from there. You have to get uncomfortable. And the way that you get uncomfortable is when you start growing, when you start changing, when you start doing things differently.
Exactly. And, you know, I felt like, and maybe, you know, this is me, you know, just trying to be super optimistic about it, but I think it was a good thing for me. I think I needed to do that. It really brought me, and not saying that I felt like I was so superior, but it really humbled me a lot to say, girl, you ain't all that, okay? But secondly, to like, there's room for improvement, especially when you are talking to women, because I'm with you. I feel like that's my audience. I love women. I love supporting and being about women. Like, my blog is totally dedicated to women, featuring them and things like that. And so I have a heart for women, but it made me think about, how was I showing up? Because I could have been, it's so many people that could have fallen through the cracks.
Yes. Because
I didn't have my stuff together. It just really made me think, you know, like, who were you really serving?
Yes.
You know, when you were in there. So I needed to go through that. And I want people to not be ashamed of having to rebrand and having to reach out for assistance, because you need people like Lucille in your life to help you grow and develop your business. I think even once you get out of that initial stage and you get to a next level, then you need a coach that's for next level. And, you know, moving up, you need coaches at all those stages, you know, of your business career.
I 100% agree.
Yes, I love that. So what have you got, you know, coming up that people should know about?
So I've written a book, which is on Amazon, and it's called Discover the 22 Biggest Mistakes That Most Business Owners Make and What You Can Do to Avoid Them. And if you've got Kindle Unlimited, then it will be free for you. So that is available on Amazon. So go ahead and buy that. And, you know, I decided to write that book because, like I say, I think so many people rush into starting a business that there are mistakes that they make along the way. So I was like, I've made a lot of mistakes. I've seen other people making mistakes as well. Let me put it to good use and not keep it to myself and just share those mistakes, because you don't know who it could help.
Exactly. We have no idea who we are not helping reach their goals by playing small.
Yes.
Like, we do not have any idea. Okay, so I'll definitely make sure to include that in the show notes. What an awesome, awesome thing to be an author. Like, congratulations on that.
Thank you. Huge, huge.
And a book definitely that, you know, others can, you know, get to reference. I'm an avid reader, so I know definitely I am going to get it. And people are like, you read? Like, yes. I listen to books a lot too, but I just need a good book on my Kindle, or I just need a good book in my hand.
Yep. I'm exactly the same. I'm that person that I've got like two books on a go at a time. So I'm listening to an audio book and then I'm actually reading a book as well. So yeah, that's me.
That's me too. I'm normally like listening to maybe one or two. And so like one is kind of like maybe a self-help or a business type book. And then one is like a fun, like say biography or something like that type book, you know, and then I'm normally reading something that's either one of those, or even a book, you know, a spirituality, things like that to help keep my faith and keep me connected to God. Like always trying to, you know, incorporate all of that, because I think sometimes we get in business, either we're too serious or we don't have enough fun, you know, out of it. And I don't hide the fact that I'm a Christian entrepreneur. And so I know I need to be tapped into the source as well. And so I try to make sure I stay, you know, within those realms. But I absolutely love, love, love to read.
Me too.
Yeah, it's so, so important. So how about you recommend like maybe two or three books for the listeners?
So Atomic Habits, I think that's by James Clear. So that's such a really good book. I've got High Performance Habits as well by Brendan Burchard. That is really good as well. And then Lisa Nichols' book, Abundance Now, because I just feel like with that book, it really helps you to tap into your ability to visualize, to be able to not just visualize and just have it as some idea that's out there, but to then sit down and create the plan to bring that vision to reality.
Oh my gosh, that is a good, okay, I am definitely going to get her book, because I hadn't gotten her book at all. I've read Atomic Habits. I absolutely love it.
Yes.
Like, that book is one that definitely reread. Like, read it.
Absolutely. That's on my list to reread, because that's about starting from the foundations and continuing to build up. That's what it's about.
Exactly. I think that one is so important, especially, you know, for new entrepreneurs who are still trying to find their voice or find what they should be doing. So I really, really appreciate you recommending those books. I'll make sure that they're listed too, because sometimes I get people ask like, hey, what are you reading? And sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't know like what level they are. And you kind of don't want to pitch to them, you know, but you don't want to recommend books that may, you know, have them thinking like, what? I'm not even there.
I get that. Yeah.
I'm not even there. I recall when I first, I guess, got really serious or knew who and what I was, who I wanted to serve, for whom, how, and why. Someone had recommended, I forgot her name, but her book is You're a Badass. And I was like, whoa, I'm not even there. Like, that book literally scared the crap out of me. Yeah. Oh, I'm not there yet. No, I'm not there. And so I left it lingering. And then recently, when I decided to go into full-time entrepreneurship, I pulled that book out and her other book about money. And I understood what she was saying then. Like, those things she said then, now they resonated with me.
Yes. And that's so powerful, because like you say, it's because now you're at that point where it means something to you.
Right.
It's relatable now.
Yes, I definitely can understand it now. So I absolutely just love to read books. So I hear you have a special gift for the audience. Tell us about that.
Yes. So I have a checklist, and it's a business startup checklist. And it's really to help you to get clear on what are the things that I should focus on in my business. And I've split it into two sections. I split it into the things that you need as a person and what you need as a business owner, because they are two separate things, because there are things that you need to have in your business, but then there are things that you need to have about yourself as well. So that's going to really help you to get a clear idea of what it is that you should be focusing on, what it is that you should be doing. And because it's a checklist, I don't know about you, but I take real pleasure in being able to kind of tick things off of my list. So I've made it in that format.
Yes, me too. I am definitely a list girl. I write one in my calendar. I have one, you know, on my phone.
I've got this everywhere.
Yes, yes. So definitely, you know, I am a list girl. So that is so awesome. So how can they get the checklist?
So if you go to my website, www.assetbusinessconsultancy.co.uk, freebies/freebies, and then you'll see the business startup checklist on there, and you can just request that, and it's free.
That is so awesome. And I'll make sure that that is in the show notes as well. But totally awesome, because you're so right. Like, you have to show up in both realms as a person, but also as a business owner. And what better way than to have something to kind of, you know, check yourself against?
Exactly.
Both ways. Oh my gosh. I have truly enjoyed chatting with you. You are like a breath of fresh air with all of this information. Especially for new entrepreneurs that, you know, may be listening in, who may have been feeling kind of defeated, you know, as we try to recover from the economy and they're trying to figure out their side hustles. Like, I think everything that you mentioned was great information for them. Even some of us, these old heads, I say. Even some of us old heads, like, we need that, you know,
we need
that information. So it was so much fun chatting with you. I know that we will find a time and space to chat again and get
definitely
about what you do, and just for you to share your expertise with people again.
Definitely, definitely. And you know what? I've had so much fun. Thank you so much for doing this. And I love technology. The fact that, you know, that you are in America and I'm in England, and we can still have this conversation is just amazing.
Yes. And that is the whole thing I'm trying to get people to see as well, you know, in the virtual event space, is that now you are not confined to four walls other than the and other than the room that you sit in, you are not confined to any walls anymore. I can, you know, virtually transport myself to England and talk to my friend Lucille and vice versa. I can sit, you know, in a, you know, a mock audience and see this product launch, although it may be, you know, in England and I'm here in Texas. Like, it just happens. You know, it's a really, really good thing. And I'm just blessed to be, you know, a part of it and able to, you know, tap into that. I think it's big. It's going to only get bigger for us.
Absolutely.
Thanks again, Lucille.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in to The Convo. I hope you enjoyed the show. Be sure to subscribe on Anchor or Apple Podcasts.